Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
May. This is expressing possibility. Though the fig trees may, if it happens that the fig trees may not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Some version says on hind's feet. Just that last part. Now, he's saying here, if I'm a business owner and I have a vineyard, or if I have a plantation of figs that I harvest from or that I feed my family from, if I have flocks, if I have herds of cows, and if I have all of these things, even if all of these things fail to work, if I go and plant all these figs, or if I go harvest and there's nothing to harvest, if I go to the vineyard to pick up some grapes and there's nothing, if I look at the flock, all of it is gone. If I look at my cows, there is nothing left. Even in that, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. What is he rejoicing over here? The understanding that his joy does not depend on this thing, but on the salvation that God has given him. On the salvation of him who is his strength. That is he has joy over. And then the last part says that he will make my feet like deer's feet. The agility that the feet of the deer have, the steadfastness to be able to stand, to balance in whatever circumstance, in whatever situation. He makes my feet like that. He makes my feet to stand firm. He makes my feet to stand and stand with steadiness. Even if I wobble, as long as my feet, we see tall trees, you know, when there's lots of wind, trees move whatever direction, but because they are rooted, they don't get easily flung over like we see with papers and all those other things, because they don't have roots. He's saying that's what the Lord does to my feet. I stand on his strength. Amen. And if you look that same scripture, just that last part, like he makes my feet like deer's feet, I saw that it was also repeated in 2 Samuel. It was also repeated in the book of Psalms. And I was like, it's telling me something here. But what is salvation that he's delighting in so much? In the world, if I say, in the context of the world, it's being saved, it's being your life being guarded or protected from danger. You could say they saved him from drowning. Oh, if it wasn't for that parachute, when he fell out of the helicopter, you know, that parachute saved him. He could have died. But in God is different. In God, he says, we are born into sin, and the sin that we've committed, it's us being taken out of that and the consequences thereof and being saved out of that. Imagine being condemned for eternity, being put away forever. But God says, no, I will take you out of that and give you life forever. That is salvation. So, is that not something to rejoice over? That is really something you can rejoice over. That's why the prophet here says, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm not going to stand here and rejoice over a vineyard that's failing or fig trees that are not producing fruit. Rather, on the understanding that I was taken from where I did not have life to a place where now I have life and I have it in abundance and I have it for eternity. Eternity is a very, very, very long time. Amen. What is happiness and what is joy? Happiness versus joy. Are they the same thing? I don't think so. If you think so, you can come meet me later. Let's talk about it. I think happiness is more external. I can save up, have enough money, and go and buy something that I really like, and it'll make me happy for that time. But as soon as it's old again, I'm not really happy with this phone. The battery just dies. Is that a lie? But when I first purchase it, I'm happy about it. Or if I achieve a goal, I am happy about achieving that particular goal. But when I see that the goal that I've achieved is not really working, or it has served its time, it's no longer really working for me now, I may say, oh man, I think I need to just do something else. It happens to us every day. Man, it can be more variable. It's not consistent. It's liable to change depending on the situation. This is happiness. If I meet my friend from high school, we'll be happy and, you know, oh, wow, good to see you. But as soon as I get home or a week later, I'll forget about it. Am I still happy about that? Yes, I may remember, but it is short-lived. Whereas with joy, it is deeper and internal. It is on the inside. I may not see it with naked eyes. When I see someone happy, I can say, oh, that guy is really happy. But with joy, I may not see. Somebody may be mourning. They've lost someone really important to them or dear to them. But if they have the joy on the inside, they understand that this person, I will see them again. There is that hope that I will see them again. Yes, I am crying right now. Yes, I am mourning. Yes, I look sad. But on the inside, I joy over the fact that they were saved and that there is hope that I will see them again. Joy is ever present. Like I just said now, it's ever present. Whether things are working, things are not working, whether I just got fired from work, I can still have joy over the things that God is doing in my life, over the fact that I still have breath, over the fact that my family is healthy. I can still have joy over those things. More importantly, salvation. It is eternal. It is eternal. Nobody can take it away. Amen. That's why James say, my friends, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or various trials or various hardships. Count it all joy. Why? Because it strengthens you. It strengthens you. It tests your faith. It shows you exactly where you're standing. If your Christianity does not get tempted or does not get hard times, then you have to really revisit and look at it. It has to be tried. It has to be tested. So if you're going through those difficult times, it's a time for you to see that, you know what, I genuinely cannot do this on my own. So it's a time for you to reflect and go back to God. That's why it says, count it all joy. Because it means that you are being drawn. Your attention is being sought. Amen. But then sometimes we look at it in very different places. We try to look for joy by making money, by gathering wealth. We think, if only I can make my first million rands, I will have that everlasting joy. If only I can accumulate as much wealth as I can, I will have that joy. Truthfully, we all need money. Money is needed in every area of our lives, let's be honest. Just for this service this morning, there's batteries here, they have to be bought, they have to be charged, there's electricity, the band had to sing, that's electricity, that's what, you know. So there's just a lot of, even to come here to church, you use petrol, you need to eat, you need to wash, you have to have shower, That's money. And we need it. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't get it. We have to. But it is not and will never be a source of joy. It will never be a source of joy. I had a story of a guy whose wife got cancer, and he was very wealthy. He took his wife to everywhere he could because he could afford to do it. Canada, US, India, everywhere to a specialist, wherever specialist he heard, he took his wife there. And they said, no, sorry, we can't help you. He came back, his wife passed on, and he suddenly said, shame on money. Shame on money. And truthfully, I would want to think about my struggles, my worries in a beautiful place, in a beautiful home, or sitting in a beautiful car and stuff like that, because that's what money can buy you. But imagine if I have that money, I have all of that, and I have the joy of the Lord as well. Imagine that. Imagine a person like Abraham, who had all of those things and still had the Lord with him. Then imagine people who accumulate all of these things and push the Lord to the side. Amen. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin are like rats or something like that, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy. And there thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, gather your wealth up there, above, where he is seated. Gather your wealth there. Even if you become the next billionaire, your hope should not be in that billion rand or dollars that you have made. Your hope should still be above there. To see that money really does not satisfy, or it does not really give you that joy that you're looking for. You know, the young ruler went to Jesus and said, Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? He was wealthy. He had money and he was young. There was potential for him to become even much richer. But he saw that I'm just going and becoming richer and richer and richer and richer, and there's a void on the inside of me. Jesus says to him, go and follow the commandments, all of the commandments. And he says, Lord, I have done all of that. Then he says, go and sell everything that you have and come and follow me. Jesus was saying to him, in a nutshell, when you follow me now that you still have all of these things, as we are going, you're going to be thinking about a client that hasn't paid you. You're going to be thinking about the debit orders that haven't gone off, or the next deal that you were about to sign, or you're about to seal with whoever you are doing business with. He's saying, if you truly want to follow me, go, close all of that, and come and follow me. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be with Jesus literally wherever he went. He was very sorrowful. He was like, no. He went and he was very, very sad. And we look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a wealthy man. John 3 says that he was well off. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. He had money. He had influence. Yet all of that was not enough. He goes by the night. He says, nobody must see me. He goes hiding in the dark of the night, and he goes to Jesus, and Jesus told him what he needed to do. Thank God for Nicodemus. Nicodemus actually listened and followed Jesus and became a disciple of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea also says he sat on the council. He was a wealthy man. This is the man that buried Jesus. He gave his tomb to Jesus Christ. He was a wealthy man who secretly became a disciple of Jesus and started following Jesus. Their money was not all for them. It was not everything for them. They realized that I have it, but I need something else. And that was Jesus. And with these two people, he didn't say, go and give out your money. Go and not everybody's going to be asked to go and give their wealth away. Each person is going to be told a different thing. Like the first guy was told to go and give his wealth away. But all I'm saying is that they did not find what they were looking for in the wealth that had accumulated. But Jesus said, all they wanted was in him. So they left everything and they followed Jesus. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus did the same thing. We know this tax collector who had, he had money, obviously. He was stealing some. He was overcharging people and taking all of this money. But that was not enough. He says, today I want to see this Jesus for myself. And he runs and he climbs a tree. And Jesus meets with him and had dined with him. Amen. Let's prioritize spiritual wealth. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, not some, all of these things that we're looking for, that we are running after, the rat race, waking up at 5, God is saying, seek first his kingdom. He's not going to give some of the things, all of these things that we seek. He's willing to give them to us. Amen. Colossians 3. There in Colossians 3, Jesus unpacks. He talks about what we need to do to have that life with him, life above. He says that when he appears before God, then we appear with him, literally. And it tells us that we should not gather things here on earth. We should focus on the things that are above. Amen. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Sometimes we try to find this joy in relationships. Can we squeeze for joy from relationships? Maybe. Maybe. Can I use my family to get this joy? Like, I really need to get it from my family. What if they can't give it to me? What if my family cannot give me the joy? Maybe if we have a baby, maybe we will have this joy. Yes, you will have some joy. But is it an eternal joy? What if the child grows up and starts giving you grief? What happens? Is that joy still there? Maybe as a parent. What if you struggle to even have the child? Then you're going to become anxious. Then it's going to become a sensitive topic. Then it's going to become this and it's going to become that. Friends, I've heard many people say, if I don't call you, don't call me. I'm also living it. Can we really squeeze for this joy from friends? Can we? But once I make good friends, then I'm going to have all the joy. What about marriage? Yes, some joy you will get. What if a month or 2 months, things just get stuck? You know, sometimes you just argue about stuff. Sometimes it's not always hunky-dory. Sometimes there's stuff that, you know, but is that where we're supposed to squeeze for joy, for this joy? And my spouse has to give it to me. Job had a bunch of friends, children, family. Job was wealthy. Job had everything. I was there the other day. I was trying to calculate the equivalent of his wealth now, because I was, you know, it mentions that he had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 oxen. And I was thinking today, how much is 500 oxen? How much is 7,000 sheep? He was a millionaire. He was a millionaire in dollars, not just a millionaire in any currency. And he was happy. He had family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had his wife. He had many servants. Things looked great for him. Until he lost everything. He lost everything in one day. He didn't lose everything in a week, a month, or years. A servant came from one direction and told him that lightning came from heaven and consumed all your oxen. Another one came from another direction and told him that some people came and took all your camels. The walls of the building where your children were eating collapsed and they all perished in there. In one day. The next day, he lost his health. What did his friends do? His wife said, "Curse this God and die." His friend said, "You have surely sinned, Job. You sinned. Because God is not going to punish you or make you go through this tough time if you did not commit any sin." And he says, what did he say? He says to them, "Should we only acknowledge God when he's doing good to us? Should we only honor God when he's doing good things? And not honor him when he allows bad things to happen to us?" This is a man who understands where he stood with God. That even if things are working, if things are not working, I will joy in the God of my salvation. His salvation was more important to him than all of these things that he had lost. But of course, we all know that the story of Job, how it ends. He got everything back, even better than he had before, because he trusted and he waited and he joyed in the God of his salvation. Joseph, waking up in a family with brothers and excited about all this dream, telling my brothers. I don't think when Joseph was talking to his brothers, he was malicious or he was trying to say, "I'm greater than all of you." But they saw that in him, that he's saying he's greater than us. We will serve him. That's not going to happen. Threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. This is his brothers. This is his brothers. He stayed in Potiphar's house. He was accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife, and he was sent to prison. Scripture says he was forgotten there. He was forgotten. A lot of young men from this day, from our time right now, this 21st century, if Potiphar's wife was to present herself, they would say, "This is an opportunity to make it in life. This is a stepping stone into success." It wasn't so for Joseph. Pleasing God was his success. Pleasing God was his stepping stone into that success that he needed. So he said, "No, I'm resisting you. Do whatever you want." And he was thrown into prison. From family, from the place of work, we don't know really if Joseph was being paid in Potiphar's house because he was sold into slavery. He was probably working for free. But yet, he had the joy of the Lord in him, the right attitude. Thrown into prison, forgotten there. He was forgotten, literally. That one thing you can't remember from the past, whether it's something that happened in first grade, that was Joseph. Forgotten like that. But yet, he held on to his faith. He held on to the God of his salvation. When he came out, we all know what happens with Joseph. He became the governor of that place. Brothers came and he said, "No, I will take you back as my brothers." It wasn't easy for him. Amen. Can we find this joy from social media? If I get followers, if I get likes, comments, then I'll feel more valued and I'll have joy. Artificial approval from people that don't even know you. Is it possible? John 12:13. "For they loved human praise more than praise from God. He has made you beautiful." Scripture says you are wonderfully, beautifully made. Amen. It's a reason to be glad and rejoice in the fact that I was beautifully and wonderfully made. I don't need anybody to come and like my photo, then I feel valued. I don't need anybody to come and comment on my photo that, oh, that dress is so pretty, then I feel valued. There is much more that God has given us that surpasses all of these artificial things that we see. Amen. Is it in achieving goals and succeeding? There is nothing wrong with achieving goals and succeeding, like I said earlier. It's beautiful. It fills our cup in some way. If I go and get the degree that I've always wanted, it fills your cup in some way. It gives you opportunities to be hired in some places. If you succeed in some areas, it can make you even good friends. Scripture says it. That if you make good money, you also attract many friends. And good friends, some not so good. But is it in that? Is it all in that? What if you study for 3, 6, 7 years, and then after you finish studying, you figure out, I think I just did a wrong degree. I really don't like this. It has happened to many. To many people. If that was what you thought was going to bring you joy at that moment, it's not. Because you just figure out now, I may have to be going back. I may have to go back to study again, something that I feel I like. Probably go and do it again and you don't like it at the end. Amen? Is it in winning awards, excelling? It's very good to do that. But if you feel now you don't have time for anything else, but focus on that thing that's going to give you that award, just that, just that, just that, to the fact that it becomes an idol even, that becomes unhealthy, and that's going to bring you depression, actually, especially if you don't get it. If you fail to get that award, then it's going to really, really bring you down. Amen. Is it in promotion, which is part of succeeding? Climbing the corporate ladders. Climb them if you can. If there's opportunity, do it. But not at the expense of your salvation. If you now have to lie to be able to get a promotion, if you now have to step on other people's heads to get this promotion, is it really worth it? Because what you do today, somebody's going to do it to you tomorrow. If it happens naturally because you're a hard worker and God is rewarding you, and Carl said it last time, the reward for good work is more work. So if you're crying for promotion, you know that it comes with more work. That's the truth about it. So there is no cutting corners. It means I've been able to achieve this much. Now I'm being trusted with much more. Of course, you also get paycheck that comes with that. But that's not everything. That's not all that matters. Like I said, these are beautiful things to have alongside with the joy of the Lord. Alongside with Him. It's beautiful. All of these things, they're beautiful. They're just not meant to be abused. Just not meant to, you know, not be used correctly. Why do we need to rejoice in the Lord? John 15, verse 11. God speaks about being Him being the true vine. He said He is the true vine. And He reminds us of the things that we should do that we may remain in His love and fully for Him to remain in us. He asked us to abide in Him. Let us abide in Him. So, because now, if I abide in Him, then He abides in me. He stays permanently in me. Then I get the fullness of this joy. You know, He was saying there, he said He was laying down His life for His friends. He was laying down for His life for me, for you. That's why I can rejoice in Him. knowing that he gave his life just so I could be free, so I could have this joy that is abiding, that stays on the inside of me. Amen. Psalm 28:7. He is our joy. And in Psalm 28:7, it actually makes me believe that joy is, Jesus is the joy. That joy is actually the person of Jesus. If I have the person of Jesus, then I have this joy that I cry for. You can read all of these scriptures. Read it at your own time at home, because we won't be able to read all of them this morning. The joy of Jesus comes by knowing him personally. If you know him personally, you have his joy. If you trust in his goodness, you rest in his promises. Even that promise, you know, when he promises stuff like he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, who is going to come and abide with us, is going to come and teach us. All the promises, even when he says, ask, you know, it will be given to you. Knock, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. Seek, you will find. These are the promises of God that he's giving to us. Experiencing his love and grace. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. At the right hand of God, where Jesus sits, that is my pleasures forevermore. The fact that I'm seated with him at the right hand of God in heavenly places, those are my pleasures. As I conclude, what should we do then, brethren? Now we've heard all of these things. How do we respond? How can we get this joy? How do we realize that it is within us and it's there to stay? If you didn't know, repent. Spend time in Scripture and find it for yourself. Find it for yourself. It's there. I realized when I was just preparing for this sermon that Jesus talks about joy so much. The Bible talks about joy so, so very much. A lot. And I realized that we still miss it because we are not intentional about finding it for ourselves. I know there's many, many other things that we are looking for or in Scripture. This is also one of the things that you can add to the list of the things that you're looking for, especially the promises of God, this joy that he promised. Pray without ceasing. Let us pray without ceasing. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to pray all the time, whether we feel like or we don't feel like. We pray. Holy Spirit helps us as well. If we don't know what to pray, he helps us. Freely give, for freely you have received. Sometimes you give the last of whatever you have with the joy that you know that it's going to do that person good. With the joy that you know that your reward is from heaven. That God is going to reward you. Freely give. Give of your service. Serve other people. Serve other people. These are things that will fill those little cups of joy. You know that your friend just had a baby. Just go and clean their house once. Or just spend time with them. Serve them. Take them a meal. The day they'll speak about it, it will fill your cup. The day they will stand and say, my friend, I really needed that, it will fill your cup. It will do you good as a person. invest in others. Identify a young student who's struggling with math. Sit with them after church there. What are you struggling with? We've got benches. Okay, this is what you do. This is what you do. This is how you solve this. This is how you do this. And they live here happy. Invest in others like that. Love people. And give off your money. Always give thanks to God. Scripture tells us to give thanks to God in every circumstance. I think I've put scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Always give thanks. It says, give thanks to God in all circumstances. That's what it says. It's radical. Very radical. Because I could be going something really, really, really tough, but God is saying, in that, give thanks. Doesn't matter what it is, give thanks. And the last one that I was thinking about is, forgive, for you have been forgiven. Forgive. That is one thing that consumes your joy. It's a cancer. It eats you on the inside, little by little, little by little. Forgive. It's hard. I'm not saying it's difficult. I mean, it's easy to forgive. Some things really hurt. But forgive, because you've been forgiven so much more. You've been forgiven so much more. Those are the words of Jesus when he tells that story, the parable of someone who's been forgiven for the much larger amount they owed, and a person being forgiven of a smaller amount. And him saying, the person that has been forgiven much more will be more and more grateful and will also want to forgive. Amen. So friends and family, this morning I just really want to encourage you that the joy that we speak of is only and can only be found in God. That is by spending time in Scripture and sitting down to really, really just reflect and meditate on the things that you've read to say, what is Jesus saying here? What is he saying? There are so many tools that can help us to really just understand the word. If we don't, there's so many tools right now. So let's use them. We can use our social media, but we can also use the same internet to improve ourselves and to just remind ourselves of the promises of God. Because sometimes if I want to understand something, I just Google it, AI breaks it down for me. Then I read, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, that makes sense. Amen. We'll be taking communion as well this morning. Another beautiful reminder that Jesus Christ broke his body and his blood was spilled for us. If we have the communion emblems in here, can we hand them? How he simplified it when they were eating. He didn't arrange for a special service to say, gather people, let's have a special service about my blood, my body. They were eating. Meaning that if you are eating, whatever you are eating at that very time, even if what you have is Fanta, whatever we have there is pizza, if you remember Christ there, you can use those things. You can use those very things as emblems and take communion. As long as you remember that you're doing this for Christ. I was going to look at... I think it's 1 Corinthians, probably 11. I don't think I included that in the slide. 1 Corinthians, oh, I did, 11, 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." His body was broken for us. "This is my body, which is broken for you. I take a moment there to think, his body was actually broken for me. It wasn't just something that had to just happen. It was broken for me. And I just remember the scripture that says, for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. He was willing. Thank you. He was willing to endure the cross. What is the joy that was before him? The joy that you and I will be free. The joy that you and I will be set free forever. Thank you. He was willing to die on the cross. As hard as it looked. Anyway, let's continue. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. May I kindly ask you to rise as we take this communion. If you continue to read, there going down to 27, it says, "Examine yourselves." I know I didn't put that up. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup." So this morning, I just want you to take a moment of just examining yourself. If there's anything that you feel you need to draw before the Lord's feet before we take this communion, let's just do that this morning. You know, pray within your heart. Pray. Think, if there's someone you haven't forgiven, let's not take this cup, you know, unto judgment to ourselves. But let's take it really in remembrance of Christ and the things that he's done for us. Take a moment and just, yeah. Just think of the things that you need to let go of this morning. Things that will stand before you. Things that will stand before you and God. And observing this moment of remembering him. This morning, Jesus, we just remember you, God, the things that you did for us. Scripture tells us that for the joy that was ahead, the joy of saving me, my friends, my family, the joy of redeeming us and giving us a life, oh God, you endured the cross. Your blood was shed and your bread was broken. I mean, your body was broken completely, God, for our salvation, for our redemption. Lord, if there is anything really in our hearts, in our minds, in our that would stand before us, oh God, and speak evil or anything that will really just want to cause us to be judged when we drink this, Lord, we pray and we ask, oh God Almighty, that you just take away every single thing, God. We don't want to drink and eat these in an unworthy manner. We don't want to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's why we examine ourselves this morning. Forgive those little foxes, oh God. If I have said things that does not please your name, if we have spoken words that do not please your name, oh God, if we have thought of things that do not please your name, or anything that we may have thought, oh God, in our minds or in our hearts, we ask that you truly, truly just forgive us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your body, oh God, that was broken for us. Thank you, God, for those nail-pierced hands and feet. The javelin that went through your body, Lord, we pray and we just, yeah, thank you for that, oh God. We ask that as we take this body, oh God, your bread, and we don't just, yeah, we remember that, yes, and Lord God, that it brings us wholeness in the name of Jesus. Those that are broken on the inside, Lord, we pray that this bread, which is your body, will go and patch those areas in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks and we glorify you. We may break the bread and take the bread. Yeah, in the same manner, God, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Thank you because your blood speaks better things than that of Abel, than that of bulls, than that of anything, oh God. Your blood that supersedes anything, oh God. We pray, oh God, thanking you, God, for just spilling it and shedding it for us, oh God. This morning as we take it, we ask, oh God Almighty, that we truly, truly remember you, God. We truly, truly remember the sacrifices. We thank you that we drink wholeness, wholeness of Christ in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, you may take the blood. Father, we glorify you this morning. We give you praise. We honor you. We want to thank you because we have this joy in our hearts that's there to stay. We have this joy, oh God, that is not just on the surface. This joy that is deep, deep, deep on the inside of us. We pray that we continue to live every day of our lives with this joy, oh God, that we begin to see it. We begin to see that you are there with us. Lord, we have this joy, Lord, understanding that whenever we have to show up anywhere, we know that you're with us. Jesus Christ, you are the one that appears first before us. That gives us a lot of joy, knowing that you go before us, knowing that you light our path. If there's anybody here who has never, ever received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you don't know how this joy can be acquired, how you could receive it, it starts by just laying your life down that Jesus Christ may use it for his glory. If you've never, ever, ever given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise up your hand. You could do the same if you feel you need to rededicate your life to Christ, that you may obtain this joy to the fullest. Also, this place is open. If you want to receive any prayers, you're welcome to come to the front. We've got a team that will pray for you as the worshipers continue to minister to us in song. You're welcome to step forward if you need to be prayed for. If you're not feeling well in your body, if you've got anything, anxious about anything, or you just really just want to begin to live in this joy that Jesus gives, welcome to also step forward.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us, pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.